We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey guys, before we get started on today's show, make sure to check out Green Mountain Dental Group, located 15 minutes from downtown Denver. It's where a lot of us at DNVR go to get our teeth cleaned. Some of us have gone there to get our wisdom teeth out. They do a great job with those. Get cavities filled, whatever type of dental work you need. Green Mountain Dental Group is an awesome place to go. They're great people. They care about their clients. They're also going to hook it up with a free Sonicare toothbrush when you schedule a cleaning x-ray and exam. If you guys aren't familiar with the brand Sonicare, it's a top-of-the-line electric toothbrush. It's going to lead to healthier teeth, less cavities, and less just painful visits to the dentist in the future. So check out Green Mountain Dental Group today. Get a free Sonicare toothbrush when you schedule a cleaning x-ray and exam.
Wow.
You don't choose the Nug Life. The Nug Life chooses you. That is how it works. You can't help it. Nobody can help it.
The Nuggets are a very enticing team to be a fan of, but Oklahoma City, you've got Poku.
You do have Poku.
That is true.
Yeah,
that is
true. Very similar. Jokic or Poku? That's a question.
Yeah, I don't know.
So welcome in, everybody, to the DNVR Nuggets podcast, the DNBA show here. I'm your host, Adam Mattes. I'm joined by the Peloton Prince, Harrison Wynn.
What's up, boys? Are we ready for the on-season officially?
So ready, man. So ready. What a fun week it's going to be. I'm telling you, man. My excitement couldn't be higher. And then I'm also joined by Eric. You know him as D-Lanko.
That's right, guys. Man, that I don't remember that clip being. I mean, it's like it's funny, the whole prop. Do people understand like what they just
watched? Nope.
No.
It's like a very cold open.
Should we explain what just happened?
I'll explain it here as soon as we introduce our guest, because our guest for today's show is one of the most interesting Nuggets fans in all of the world. And you saw the genesis of her fandom as she picked the name out of the hat. The universe decided on her. She is, of course, Ariana Lenarski. Ariana, welcome onto the show.
Hi, everybody.
Hey. Oh man. Where's my applause? There it is. All right.
Both were appropriate.
Both were appropriate. So, Ariana, so what happened here, if I can paraphrase for people that don't realize, you just decided to become an NBA fan. Random team. 30 names in a hat. And like I said, the Nug Life chose you.
It really did. Watching that clip now, it's humiliating. It's like humiliating. But like, it also makes sense. Before. So I had been into basketball my whole life, but I hadn't chose a team.
Right.
And before I chose, I was like, okay, I don't want to get the Raptors because they were like getting slain by LeBron all the time. And I was like, I don't want to get the Magic because I think that their owners are evil.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a very good point.
And I was like, and I don't want to get the Nuggets. And the only reason I didn't want to get the Nuggets because I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything about them. Yeah. And they were called the Nuggets. And I was like, how could this
be? What kind of name is that?
I'd never been to Denver. I didn't know what to think of Colorado. So I just was like, that doesn't make sense to me. So pulling it was like, I blacked out. Like I truly was like, how could this really be happening to me?
Before you get to how it happened, because one of the things I like about the video is it's like 45 minutes long, and it's like the first five, nothing happens. It's just like music playing, and it's like a picture of your desk.
The thing that I should also add is that I was getting into practicing witchcraft, and I was like, okay, and I was like writing all these little spells down all the time, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to try to do this with my basketball team. I'm going to try to like follow the process of what you do yes. when you're doing witchcraft.
Sure, yeah.
According to
as one does,
according to Google or whatever. So it was like this genesis of my own like occult spirituality or whatever. And so I was like, I was literally just carefully running down everything. And I was recording because I didn't think anyone would be watching or anything like that. But then a lot of people were watching it. I think there were like 1,000 people watching it by the time I got to the end of it. So it was just, it was truly a chosen experience. Like I was so deliberate. It was a very deliberate experience of like, I'm doing this, I'm going to go through with it. And it felt very like, and something yeah. magical happened. And something definitely did.
Something very magical happened, of yeah. course. So now we are to, because it's funny that we only obviously clipped 30 seconds of that video, but you go into all of the stages of grief, I suppose, where there's like some bargaining. And
I know, I want to say it's a little unfair because you're only showing the part where I was like, no. But you see me turn around and I'm like, yep. You know what? Fuck it. Like, I am a Nuggets fan. Sorry, I don't know if I can swear on this.
Yeah,
I was like, I am.
We encourage it.
I feel like I came around and I was like, Nuggets for life. Like, I'm in. I'm all the way yeah. in. I'm going to do this.
I love this comment here because your reaction, it was like ours when they picked Zeke, which we were all kind of like, well, we were hoping for something else. And now we all love him and we're like, why yeah. are you so disappointed? Yeah. Like, what were we doing? So,
but the thing is, you picking the Nuggets, when was that? 2018?
Yep.
Like, that was 2018.
That's a lot different yeah. from just picking the Nuggets out of a hat right now.
It sure is. It's like yeah. remarkable. It's remarkable how much it, because it was just barely on the brink. It was sort of like Jokic was noticeably special, but yeah. like Jamal was not anyway. Right. Like he was a yeah. mess. I mean, he was great and exciting, but he was like yeah. kind of extremely a mess. And there was really nobody else that was like that.
Yeah,
there was nothing yeah. else to go off of. It was really just
you didn't know that this yeah. was going to turn into be the perfect decision. Which now that we're 2 years removed, because here's one thing I really like about you, Ariana, in addition to just being interesting, is that you are an outsider and yeah. you're joining this Nuggets experience late. But I feel like it's only been 2 years, and just from talking to you and seeing you on the timeline, I feel like you get it. Like you,
I get it. Like yeah. I follow basketball.
Yeah.
So it's not like I wasn't just like, wow, my first time like watching sports. Yeah, like yeah, I yeah. know this is weird. Like I'm right. seeing this happening and I'm like, this is different. This is special and this is strange. And I find it remarkable that more people aren't paying attention. And I feel like that's gonna be their problem.
They're missing out. So we're going to shift gears a little bit here first, because we want to get to some of the Nuggets news and notes first, but we're going to shift back. It's not a coincidence that we are having Ariana on the show today on the winter solstice, one of my favorite days of the entire year. That's no joke. People that know me know that it's actually true. The winter solstice really is like one of my most optimistic days. And I just, I'm going to lean into heavily to that. Is it a special, like, do you like this day in particular? Are you the type of person yes. that likes specific days of the year? I guess it's kind of weird to like certain days.
This is Yule. Yeah. This is the witch's Yule.
This is Yule. So it's a big day.
It's a big day. It's a big day all around. Oh,
so
yeah.
So I can't wait. But before we get into all that fun and weird stuff, I want to tell, Harrison, you were at, I had meetings all morning. I missed our media availability. Why don't you walk me through the important notes? I know a lot of people tuning in to get the Nuggets news. What happened at media availability today?
Yeah, so a bunch of interesting stuff happened at media availability today. Isaiah Hartenstein spoke, Jamal Murray spoke, Michael Malone spoke.
We got it. It's Hartenstein. We're going to get killed if you keep doing this wrong. It's not Bruce Springsteen, it's Mark Stein.
I'm going to keep doing it wrong. I'm just letting you guys know.
I have to say you've polluted me too, and I don't even know how I say it.
I don't even know how I say it versus what the right way to say it.
It's like the word caramel or caramel. I don't even know how I say that. I change it every time depending upon the audience.
That's a good point.
Hartenstein, the same thing. But I blame you specifically.
My favorite thing that Michael Malone had to say today, and I think Kale has the clip here, I asked him about the three-point shooting. It's obviously been a huge storyline throughout the preseason. Denver took an average of 45 threes over their last two preseason games. And I asked Malone today, is there anything special that kind of the Nuggets do in practice to just reinforce him to his players that they need to shoot more threes in games? So, Kale, if you can roll that clip there. I thought it was pretty.
Yeah, it's just not a conversation. It's something that you have to drill and work on. And a lot of the drills that we use in practice, Harrison, we will actually use a shot spectrum scoring. So if you make a corner three, it's +4. If you finish at the rim, it's +4. If you make a mid-range shot, it's only worth 1 point. Trying to practice how we want to play. And I think you just can't talk about it. You have to be about it. And our guys have done a good job with that. So then you reinforce it with the film. You know, obviously in that Golden State game, we did a poor job. Well, we only took 25. Out of those 25, only two were in the corners. And we didn't shoot enough paint threes. So making sure we understand the threes that we want, how we want to generate them, and just sometimes it's simply sprinting to the corner and not jogging to the top of the key, because the corner three is a shot that obviously we want to shoot a lot more of than we did last season. So
the first thing I like about this is it reminds me of like this. It almost feels like somebody trying to diet so they create failures for themselves. Do you know what I'm talking about, Ariana? Where it's like, okay, if I end up having a sweet today, then tomorrow I can't have breakfast or something. It's almost like what it feels like he's doing.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So corner threes are worth 4 points. Shots at the rim are worth 4 points. Mid-range jumpers only worth 1 point. I love it. It's about time they did something like this.
Who's keeping track of this? Imagine trying to keep score of this during, like, in real time. I'd be like, oh, hold on, that's a 4-pointer. And then take away one. This the free. It seems like it's.
I'm sure it's whoever the lowest person on the totem pole is on the Nuggets staff. That's definitely their responsibility to count by fours and count by one. So,
Aaron, what do you think of Michael Malone? What's your Michael Malone take?
Well, I think he's. I was thinking last year and in 2018 that he was really the heart of the team. Like, to me, that really seemed where everyone was looking towards him to feel the pulse and feel the generative sense of that. I think that's shifted a little bit now. I think people that, like, as all the players are getting more into their identities, because they're all so young. So right. I feel like they weren't quite as sure of themselves. There was like in a really nice way, like a toddler mentality of like staggering forward into who they are. And I feel like his passion was where everyone would look to be like, you know, they needed to see the rage timeouts because they just didn't have big enough egos to like do something like that. So now that there's more like MPJ is adding, you know, he's got his own identity and he walked in with his identity. And like, so there's like a little bit more that's affecting other people. And now there's, I feel like Jamal is stepping a little more into like, he doesn't have an ego necessarily, but he's like shining more and he's more comfortable with himself. So it's like, so now I feel like it's probably an interesting transition for Mike Malone to feel like he can take a step back as the emotional, like completely generating all of the, like, I don't even know what the word would be.
I think that's really good insight. Cause to me, that is part the Nuggets are in that phase where he has been such the leader. And he even had a great quote earlier this year where he said, I'm waiting for the day where I don't have to stop practice. Somebody else does.
Yeah.
Basically a practice rage timeout that somebody on the team is like, yo, we don't have
it. He wants some player of his to absolutely chew out the rest of his teammates in a practice. That hasn't happened.
But to be fair, they were young. They're getting older. Jamal Murray, maybe now I have if this is a bold prediction for the season for Jamal Murray, he will stop practice at some point this year and do it. So at some point, I think Jamal Murray will walk into that. So it is. I do think that is a moment in time that the Nuggets are at.
Yeah. Something else from practice on the topic of Jamal Murray. We've been discussing how likely it is that he'll make the All-Star team this year. I just straight up asked him today, how big of a goal is that for you? How much are you concentrating on getting an All-Star spot this year? So, Kale, if you got the clip there, I thought his answer was interesting.
Yo, yeah, I did not have time to get the Jamal clip.
Can you just do it yourself? Can you just
just read the quote, Kale? Come out and read it in Jamal's voice.
Because I have the quote here. It's okay. Oh, man. So let's see. Jamal Murray pretty much just said that, yes, obviously an All-Star appearance is something he really wants this year. I don't want to miss All-Star games going forward. It's going to be tough in the West, but I know I've got the capability to do it. I've done it on the biggest stage when it means the most. It's just a matter of doing it in the regular season.
We've got a lot of guys that are playing really well. So turn it on and off when I have to. But winning a championship is always going to be the main goal, and I'm going to have fun doing it.
Wow. What a quote. What a
was
quote.
That, I thought we didn't have the clip. Was that Harrison?
Yeah, that was the live
crowd. That was a great quote. That was a great quote.
Winning a press conference, like Michael Porter had one over the weekend, we should probably mention, where he was asked about coming off the bench, and he said much the same thing. You never know. I mean, look, you take everybody at face value, but that Jamal Murray quote, we all know how important, and everybody's predicting this is the year he becomes a all-star, and what a big feather in his hat that would be. Even financially, there could be some incentives down the line. Like, it's a big deal. And for him to come out and just be like, look, guys, I like it, but I know what's going on with this team. We got so many good players, and quite frankly, I don't need to score 25 points. So to me, it felt like an admission on his part of, yes, I want the All-Star game, but I'm not willing to, like, break character to try to get it. Is that how you interpreted that, Ariana?
Yeah, I think that it's really interesting with Jamal, because even he – I do some NBA gambling sometimes, and I don't
need as
care.
As do we. You're in friendly company with him, okay, I'll say that much.
And it's just so interesting to see him, like, he's on the most improved player list. And it's weird because I don't know if he can be considered for, because, like, well, he's already kind of gotten better. It's right, kind of weird. Yeah. So yeah. It's like he's at this weird point where the expectations for him almost seem to have like his leap. I think everyone assumes his leap happened.
Right. Kind of.
You know,
one thing I will say, though, about the NBA, like Christian Wood's another candidate for this. He had a phenomenal 15 games to close out the year. If he's good this year, he would win that award. And you could point to him and be like, well, he had a good month to end the season. But it's almost like people weigh the last half of last season and this season in terms of it. So yeah. I think, as much as I agree with you, if he does have a bubble performance throughout the season, people will still call him the most improved or whatever.
You wonder about it. Yeah, there is. I don't feel like there's a hard and fast rule with that, though. You just don't know what.
There's not.
You don't know. I mean, that's what any of these subjective, like superlative type awards for the NBA are, where you're like, what are you taking into consideration when you're talking about the MVP? And like, anytime somebody frames the conversation of who's the MVP, they will give you what they are looking for. Yeah, but it's not like there's not just like a hard and fast, like, because I can see Jamal being eliminated for just that reason. People are like, well, that happened last year, and now he's just sort of playing at that level.
Like, it won't. I'm telling you, and it's even worse with MVP voting. MVP voting is like how you finished last year or the playoffs of last year plus this year.
Because
everybody's always like a year behind on that kind of thing. So it's just mentally. It's like human bias or error or whatever. So I think that's it. Is there any other news, Harrison?
We got one more clip, I think. I think we have one more clip from practice. Okay. Michael Malone talking about Nikola Jokic, his leadership. We heard Monte Morris say over the weekend that Nikola is one of the hardest working guys ever been around.
I love
Mike Malone had a great quote today, just kind of talking about his leadership and him setting the example in practice every single
day. And to take that from then all the way now, where he was a year ago, he was first team All-NBA. He's been an all-star consecutive seasons. He has cemented himself as one of the best players in the world. And what I love about him is that he hasn't changed. Everybody thought he changed when he signed a big contract, you know, how money changes people. Nikola Jokic is the same person as he was the day I met him for the first time. Humble, fun to be around, high IQ. And I feel really fortunate to be able to coach a superstar that is as humble as he is, because, you know, he kind of sets the example. And the other thing I think that's really jumped out to me, Malika, is whether it's warm-ups, three-man weave, a shell drill, a pick-and-roll drill, or a five-on-five competition, Nikola does everything hard. Like, when your best player sets the example like that every day, you can't ask for more than that. So,
Yeah, so I don't think a rookie year Nikola Jokic is doing a shell drill with 100% effort, like a defensive drill. But I just think it's a nice bit of insight into his growth on that front.
That quote from Monte Morris about him being the hardest worker he's ever been around is so perplexing. Like, everything about Nikola Jokic, it's like, goes against what you expect. Like, you look at him, he doesn't look like he's going to be a good basketball player. He's a transcendent basketball player. He last year, you know, the talk was just about how he was too heavy to be able to play at a high level of the NBA. He plays games where he plays 60 minutes without sitting down. He's like not at all bothered by the fitness level. Like, I would never have guessed that Nikola Jokic would be the one that Monte Morris would call out. It delights me. It tickles me deep inside my soul. But, like, I don't understand anything about him, and I just can't wait to watch more. It's, like, so great.
I do have to correct Michael Malone, and there's a great comment. By the way, ice under Adam's fridge. He said elite newcomer. Might be newcomer of the month here. Literally, he says, literally nobody thought Nikola would change, and he's right. Like, this is the one little nit to pick with Malone's statement. He's like, everybody thought Nikola would change. No.
Well, he bought that. We've heard tale about him buying more expensive cars. Does that count?
So he kind of has changed, and it's surprising because we thought he would not change. It is sad to see. Ah, Jokic enjoying life. This is a shame. Real shame. Yeah, Jokic's leadership style, Ariana. Like, he's a unique personality. Is he a leader?
Of course. Like, when I was watching that clip, I was like, what is with the Nuggets? Like, what is Nikola Jokic what's going on in his brain? What does
Nobody
he
knows
love?
That.
Like, I really wonder, because it's like, what does he love the most? Like, what is really at the heart of his values? And in fact, I was thinking about this when I saw that we were talking about earlier how there's not going to be local coverage or whatever for the cable stuff. And I was like, I don't really think this is why, but it made me think about how, like, they're such a confusing team, because on the one hand, like, he's not an ego superstar type of dude, but he's also usually when you're not an ego superstar type of dude, you're at least like hip or cool. Like, you know what I mean? Like, at least
he wore skinny jeans once. That has to count.
You're like, at least there's some kind of like underdog, like cool elements. I'm trying to think of someone who I would talk about kind of like that. I mean, in some ways,
he's a unicorn in every.
He is a one of one personality for a superstar athlete.
So I think there's something hard to cling to in that regard of like, what is it that are you just having fun? Like, that's weird. Like, it's weird that you're making so much money and you're like one of the most incredible athletes in the world and you're just kind of like having fun, and it's like, doesn't seem like a big deal to you. And that's like weird.
One of the stories that is coming out of this camp, though, and I think it mirrors Jokic's, you know, body transformation over the last year. It mirrors his like coming up clutch now and being established as a clutch player. There's a lot of people trying to talk about him and shift the narrative. And I'm talking about teammates, coaches, front office, saying like, you guys don't realize how competitive this guy is and how driven he is.
Definitely.
And I do think that is one thing. We, of course, have kind of come to learn this even more and more over time. But it does seem to be like the thing that everybody is sort of putting out there right now. It's like, hey, man, the one thing everybody's missing, this guy's like super, super driven. And right. I think it's true. I've said this before. Yeah. I think his body transformation had to do with him targeting, feeling like he could take on any player but one. And I just feel like I don't think people quite realize that Jokic wants to be the MVP, not the award. He just wants to be the best player in the league. Mm-hmm. And that's a part of his personality that people are learning.
Yeah. I think that's really accurate. It's different than, like, I feel like a big problem with someone this is the guy who I would consider to be more the hip person is like James Harden. Like, I feel like at the end of the day, I'm not 100% convinced that because he like isn't clutch when he should be at times.
I know.
So it's sort of like this sense of like, I don't really care at the end of the day. Fuck you guys. Like, if you don't appreciate me, blah, blah, blah. But I feel like with Jokic, he's more like, I actually do. He admits that he cares and he wants to be like more. He wants to show up.
Yeah.
The thing about Jokic, just quickly, like that concept in that, like, really just goes so deep down into, I feel like, the psyche of and the construct of Nikola Jokic, in that he knows that he's doubted. He is a little brother. But he doesn't want to change himself to get you to come over to him. Like, he's going to stay the same, and it's on you.
And he'll make it work. And he's going to make it work. And whether you'll figure it out.
It's on you. Totally. Like, he's going to do him, and it's the right answer. And whether or not you want to recognize it, like, that's on you.
Yeah. I'm excited. I'm so excited for Joker, man. I keep wanting to preview our Joker preview, by the way, up on YouTube tomorrow at 10 a.m. You're going to want to see it. You're going to want to see it.
It's a good one. It's a good one.
Harrison, take us to our first break, and then we're going to talk some fun stuff on the other side. Some good omens.
Side. All right. Sounds good. The Mile High City Copper Lager is back at Breck Brew. Right in time.
Back at the DNVR bar, too.
Season, back at the DNVR bar. So pick some up today. Mile High City Copper Lager. Pick it up at the Breck Brew Farmhouse or from your local liquor store. Also, we've got another WGT tournament coming up this weekend. I did not name this one. I don't know who named it. It is called the Ho Ho Hole in One Challenge at Arundel Golf Course.
Lindsay that would be in AJ Hafele.
Oh, okay.
That would be Ho Ho Hole in One. All right. That's right. Abs beat.
Yeah. But guys, make sure to download WGT World Golf Tour, the official gaming partner of DNVR, and then search for the DNVR 4 Country Club. Play in this tournament this weekend, then send your scorecard to us on Twitter at DNVR_sports or email us info@thednvr.com to win prizes. And download WGT from dnvrgolf.com. Search for the DNVR 4 Country Club.
You got another one or no?
We are good.
We're good. Let's all go. Right. Okay, so it is the winter solstice here. Actually, everywhere it is. And if you want to know a little fun fact, the Ball Bowl video today premiered at exactly the moment of the solstice.
Wow.
Not a coincidence. Wow. A solstice obsessive would maybe have planned that. It was at 10:03 today. So
I frankly feel used, having been part of the thing that you used for that. Anyway, go ahead.
So the reason I like the solstice, I'm dead serious about this. The reason I like it, the summer solstice is the best day because it's the longest day of the year. So that's my favorite. That's number one. But winter solstice, top five. And it's because we've had this slow, gradual, the day's just getting shorter and shorter and shorter. And it's depressing. Like, I'm telling you, it actually affects my moods. But then there's the day, which is today, where you know what? Every day is slightly better. It's a rebirth, right? The mythology is the rebirth of the sun. And now it's going to slowly start shining brighter and brighter on us. And I felt like when I found that the season was going to begin on the 22nd, which is tomorrow, which it does, when I found that out, I thought, this is a great omen for me personally. And maybe it's just, I don't care if it's real or not, but it makes me feel good. And it's like, hey, we get to start the NBA season on the day of rebirth. And to me, it felt like a great omen. Ariana, tell me you see it as well.
Tell you what? What'd you say?
That you see it, a good omen in the season beginning the day after the solstice.
I think that it's a beautiful time to start the new season. I feel like it's just like you said, it's like the sun coming back. So it's like the little chrysalis of joy starting to take us into next season.
Inch by inch.
Inch by inch, slowly but surely. Actually, I also kind of like that there's going to be less games. I think it's kind of, I think 82 games is kind of nuts to begin with. So I actually kind of like a shorter regular season. So that's also something that I'm preferential to.
The worst part about it is that we get less games, but more back-to-back somehow. Like we didn't quite get the benefit of
I didn't see that on the schedule. That's too bad.
So, all right. And then you were talking as Yule, only because I was researching this last night, as I do show prep for every show.
Oh,
you don't realize how much of the Christian or how much of the Christmas tradition, like decorating trees and holly and mistletoe and ivy and all this stuff, all of this iconography actually comes from the paganism version of Yule, not necessarily Christmas. You know, you like combine two. This is how everything happens. Things evolve. You combine holidays. But all that stuff has like these funny, you know, interesting traditions that date way back for the winter solstice specifically.
Yeah, absolutely. Also in, you know, Catholicism, like most of Catholicism is from witchcraft. It's kind of crazy. Like if you go to a Catholic, no offense to any, I'm probably like, obviously people might get mad at me if there's somebody like Catholic. Like at a Catholic service, there's, you know, they're swinging incense and they're like, doing all this type of ritualistic stuff that you find in like pagan rituals and all this kind of stuff. So I don't know. It's all kind of, I feel like there's at the heart of like Wiccan tradition and stuff like that, it's just very much trying to connect to the earth, trying to connect to the seasons, trying to connect to a type of timing that makes more sense to what it feels like to be a human being, basically.
I'm sure that's why Adam Silver chose this date as well. He too was trying to connect with the sun. Yeah,
exactly. Adam that's Silver, he... very powerful witch. Very powerful.
I can see it. Like if you told me that, I'd say, yeah, he is very powerful. Okay, so let's talk about some of the players here and just how you've grown to connect with them. And in particular, Bol Bol. You had my favorite tweet of the draft, Bol Bol. I think you said, I love him like I love my own son. I thought I was high on Bol Bol, but Ariana has already adopted him into the family.
Well, we might have uttered that same phrase on this show before. I don't want to say for certain, but quite possibly.
Yeah. Bol Bol is, are you serious? Like Bol Bol is like an alien from outer space. Uh-huh. And seems to be like aware of that. Like he seems to be owning it. Yeah. I mean, the draft fashion that he had was, he was wearing a spider web. Like he was wearing all black.
Bejeweled.
It was like truly crazy. I think at the time I thought it was like Jack Skellington, like from The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah. And he, had to look.
I actually think it's funny though, because he seems like he gained weight, which is like, I did not think would happen. Like I was watching some of the games and he seems like not a lot, but like I'm not afraid that you're going to snap it half. Like every time that I watch you play now, like I actually am like, is this like Magic Johnson? Like, who are you? What is going to happen? But he's go ahead.
Who's your favorite Nugget? Like who have you, are you most drawn to? That's like your favorite child.
Okay. Well, I was just looking at the roster and I was like, I'm in a really high intensity basketball chat that I'm in all the time. And I just like talk about basketball all the time. And I just texted them before I came on the show. I said, do you ever just look at the Nuggets roster and feel your heart swell up with happiness? I was just like looking at all of them.
Multiple times per day.
You're talking to the right people. Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's hard. I think I'd have to be crazy to not say Jokic. Like he's my favorite player. I think the Nugget I love the most, and I'm like, God, this guy's like, he is the Nugget, is like Monte Morris, like a you're the Nugget, man. Well, like you are
Mr.
The
Nugget?
You might even say Mr. Nugget.
He's Sir Nugget. Like I
Sir Nugget. Oh, he's united.
So we have Mr. Nugget and Sir Nugget.
Wow.
And I just think I feel like I'm really surprised. It's what's really surprising to me is every player is very different. And it's shocking to me that they all feel like Nuggets. Like how could so many very different players feel like Nuggets? So I can't quite get to
that question. I know exactly why it is, because there's one singular architect of what it is to, like, they're not historically Nuggets. They are Nuggets in that they are, coming into a team that has been set forth with an actual plan in place, and they're the right kind of people, and they play in the right way. They play a complementary style of basketball. Like they're, other teams are just constructed very catch as catch can. Like they like a fantasy basketball squad where you'd be like, I don't know, this guy's good at basketball. And then you bring it all together and it doesn't work. The players don't make any sense, but the Nuggets like now are like, what it means to say like somebody is a Nugget. Like that has not always been the
case. I think there's another quality here. And I actually wrote about this. One of my favorite things I've written over the last couple of years. And it was about MPJ and how he was so anti the rest of the Nuggets, but in some ways quintessentially Nugget. And that is that they're all underdogs. Every single one of them is underdogs. So in addition to the half of them being either undrafted or second round picks, if you just look at the guys who were lottery picks and there's only Jamal Murray, well, Jamal Murray comes from Canada. And like as much as yes, he went to Kentucky and yes, he went seventh, which is, he was the second shooting guard. He was still behind Buddy Hield. He wasn't very heralded, even going into like his whole career has unfolded that way. But he's from Canada and he knows exactly what it's like to be like, no, I'm as good as all of you. You just don't accept me for reasons beyond my control or this or that. So he fits that mold. You look at Michael Porter Jr., who was a number one recruit, you know, since he was in seventh grade. Well, he had those back surgeries. Nobody, the Clippers passed on him twice. All these teams passed on him. So he, even though by nature he isn't an underdog, he is forced into being an underdog. And now it looks like maybe coming off the bench this season in his second year when everybody's picking him to be the most improved player, like he continues to be forced to becoming more and more Nugget, increasingly Nugget, as they say on Reddit. So like there is something true that I think that they all fit that mold, the underdog counted out mold in one way or another.
But it's so interesting though, too, because there is another team that had that mentality for a long time, the Clippers. And yeah. But it's really interesting though, that I think there's a lack of bitterness with the Nuggets. I feel like with other teams, when you're counted out and you're an underdog, you're very bitter. And there's, I don't get that sense.
Sharing a building with the Lakers will do that to you. Like the Nuggets aren't the Nuggets aren't constantly ridiculed in the way that the Clippers are. The Clippers like have to fight for their very existence. The Nuggets are like just able to be ignored, you know.
Yeah.
Like and the Clippers are like antagonized constantly, and so like now it's forced them to abandon their you know, that underdog spirit that Adam's talking about, which is, that's such a great call, Adam. That's exactly what it is. That is what, that is the one uniting factor. Because if you think about, I was thinking about when you were talking about RJ Hampton, like that's a guy that would be an absolute top prospect, but he made the trip to New Zealand and then immediately became an underdog because he didn't perform to people's expectations. And that's true. That's it. And they're all
as well.
There are people that have been injured or counted out one way or another. And Tim Connelly then, you know, sees those players and is able to see them for what they are. And for whatever reason, isn't swayed by the general narrative or the bubble think that everybody else goes along with. So, yeah, that's it.
Yeah. I think that is it. So, Ariana, I know that in addition to, you know, you write music, you do a bunch of different things. Very creative person. Do you also read tarot? Which we did this one time on my other show, Locked on Nuggets. We've never done it here at DNVR, but
I found it very entertaining, by the way.
Right. Highly entertaining. Are you kidding me? It's incredible. So one of the things I know some people like, you know, whatever, if you're watching this or that, like, you know what, this is just for fun. Whatever your thoughts or opinions on all of this, like it's a fun way to kind of frame the conversation about these players and maybe have a little bit of fun on this most holy day to find out what we expect
from
what's
in store. Of disclaimers for whatever you're bringing to the show. I love it. Let's go. And by the way, I into it wholeheartedly. I think it's completely real and I'm going against it.
I was just going to say this is all completely real. Everything that I say is 100% going to happen.
I would actually, as you say things, I'm going to do a corresponding bet.
Funny is it doesn't matter if it's this or so. Nothing's worse than the like person that digs back through the time is like, remember when you said Jokic was going to average 18 points? He averaged 19. You idiot, you dummy. And you're like, all right, thank you, man. Like, sorry.
Can I just say though, before we get into the tarot card reading, that we've really buried the lead with Ariana and what she has done and what she means for the Denver Nuggets. Ariana was called upon to lift a curse that was set
forth
in the 70s or the 80s by an actual witch, cursed the Nuggets. Ariana came into our life, lifted the curse, and look at us. I've never felt better.
We have not missed the playoffs since Ariana's been here. I mean, look at this, guys. She joined and she's been a steep upward climb.
Like, Jokic is important, but like, Jokic
the curse. I would trade Jokic before I lost Ariana, for sure. For
without
sure.
question.
Wait, do people know the story of people know Robata?
Tell it real quick.
No one knows.
I think we're aware of it, but a lot of people might not know it in depth.
Okay, I feel okay. I want to like try to get a picture. Is there a way to like get a picture of her at all?
Kale, can you search Robata?
I found out Robata.
Robata.
Robot with an A.
There's a the witch's name was Robot with an A.
Yeah. And we still have no. Where is she? We don't know where she is. Okay, let me try to tell the story. So yes. I found this out the day after I became a Nuggets fan, where I like wasn't sure, like I don't know, and I was like, I guess
that doesn't seem like just a coincidence.
It's not. Yeah. And so I was like looking for a jersey. And as I was Googling the image search, I saw a little image that said, the Denver Nuggets hire a witch to curse the Indiana Pacers. Yeah, there we go. In the 1975.
The ABA was so weird, man.
It was so great. And so I was
zoom
like,
in on that kill. Look at her. Look at her like raised hand to the.
What could
Pacers.
This be? So that's Robata, the Golden Witch of the West, and she was hired to put a curse on the Indiana Pacers, and they must have not taken her seriously or something. Oh, she like brought a cauldron out. She like took a big poster of the guy on the other. Oh my God, what was his name? George something with a G last
George
name again.
Gervin.
Yes, I think so. And they like she did like voodoo on him and stuff. And yeah, there we go.
This is incredible.
I like that she's giving the Spock symbol too. That's a lot of mixed imagery, but I'm here for it.
So this bat,
how did the Pacers let her so close to their huddle?
I know she's like in the huddle.
Big mistake.
They had their own guy named Dancing Harry who was putting a curse on the Nuggets. For real. They had
Can you imagine the ABA guys? Just like, think about the absurdity of this. The ABA just with like, yeah, I mean, this is, we'll bring out some bears.
I'm
going to
say,
like,
I'm a little
juggle.
Jealous. Like, I wish that Adam Silver, being a good witch himself, would implement some of these more.
I am trying to infiltrate the NBA and do this kind of bullshit. and so this curse backfired. And the Nuggets never went back to the finals. This was in the finals, and they did not return. They had not returned to the finals.
Let me ask you this: Was this shoddy witchcraft? Was there a payment dispute?
I would love to know. And I felt as though I needed to find Robata the Witch and ask her these questions and know the story of her. And I ended up flying. I ended up going to Denver. I ended up flying to Denver when the Nuggets were in the. What was that? When they were playing Portland.
Yeah, it was in the
second round. Year. Second round. 2 years ago now.
Yeah, 2 years.
Yeah, and it was like, I think exactly the same game. It was game five. It was just like the same game that she cursed them. And I felt so bad that I hadn't found her and I couldn't lift the curse. And I was like down on the floor, you know, looking at like, I mean, I really wish I could have found her. And then it like struck me. I was like, wait, maybe I'm the witch now. Like maybe I can lift the curse and I don't have to find her body. Like, I tried to do her little symbol that she's doing there. And I like tried to like
the Spock symbol.
Yeah. Like I reached down deep inside myself and I was like, okay, let me try to like lift this curse. And then they ended up winning. So I felt really good about that.
Perfect. I mean,
curse lifted.
Well, it not only lifted, but like I like that you lifted it in stages. Like you lifted just enough to get to the second round.
And that's then it's real magic.
Like it's like a slow lifting fog. It's amazing. Yeah. Again, like we can't thank you enough. We just can't thank you enough.
Oh, I mean, it's my calling. I was brought here by higher power. It really has nothing to do with me.
It's so fun. All right, well, let's take our last break. On the other side of it, though, let's let's get into it. Let's see what is in store for our Denver Nuggets here.
I'm a little nervous, season. If I'm being honest.
I'm a little nervous too. You never know.
This is going to determine the fate of the season. Probably.
It will.
Everything's riding on this, guys. All right, check out Green Mountain Dental Group today. Get a free Sonicare toothbrush when you guys schedule a cleaning x-ray exam. A lot of us here at DNVR, we go to Green Mountain Dental Group. Get our teeth cleaned, get our wisdom teeth pulled, get our cavities filled. Stop in there today, located 15 minutes from downtown Denver. Schedule a cleaning x-ray exam. Get a free Sonicare toothbrush, a top-of-the-line electric toothbrush today. Also, you guys can get a subscription to Strava Craft Coffee, the CBD-packed Strava Craft Coffee for 20% off with the code DMVR20, and get your coffee every 2, 3, 4, 6, or 8 weeks, and 20% off of whatever product you are subscribing to at Strava Craft Coffee. Awesome stuff. Once you go Strava, you never go back, and it will have you honking like a goose. Absolutely. Honking like a freaking goose.
Is that now officially in the read? Has Strava adopted that as their official slogan?
We've made it their tagline. So check out Strava Craft Coffee at StravaCraftCoffee.com. Today you guys can get 20% off with the code DNVR20.
So I see this in the comments, a lot of people asking
about
the James Harden rumor or whatever about this. I mean, look, guys, this happens every year. There's somebody that's not reputable that comes up with and somehow it just goes viral. I mean, like, these stuff happens. Like, now, can I tell you definitively Denver is not going to trade for James Harden? I can't tell you that. But there's nothing substantive out there about the Nuggets being involved in any type of James Harden talks or on the goal line or imminent. And no. Certainly, it would be almost impossible. I think I'll go ahead and say impossible to envision the Nuggets trading Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. for James Harden. Like, in addition to just thinking, like, would that even make sense as a basketball play? What do we know about this Nuggets team and the Tim Conley era? And what they value so much is that continuity and the chemistry and all these things. And to go from a player that is the heart and soul of your team and Jamal Murray to somebody like James Harden, who is currently straight not up participating. I just like there's just so that's so opposite of what Denver's thinking. So guys, can I tell you definitively Harden would never be a Nugget? No, I can't tell you that. But the deal that's in place and the person reporting it, not reputable, and there's no legs to it. So don't
the rumor isn't out. Real. Stop freaking out. And here's what I would keep in mind when thinking about any potential trade in the Nuggets. What Tim Connelly has said when every rumor has come up over the last several seasons, we want to keep our contention window open for as long as possible. The Nuggets will not make any trade that shortens the length of the window they have to contend. So I would keep that in mind with any trade, but yes, there's nothing to this rumor. There's no links to it.
All right, Ariana, walk us through. I just give you the microphone here. Okay. Walk us through how we want to go about this.
Do I need to prepare myself in any way? Should I lower the lights? Okay. I just want to make sure that I'm doing
your whole life has been preparing you for this moment.
That's true. All right.
Okay. I was thinking maybe we could just you guys will say the name of a player and then I'll pull a card and we'll see. We'll ask what does this player need to know to do their next right action as a Denver Nugget?
Awesome.
These are advice for each of the players.
So we should start with Jamal Murray.
Okay. We're going to pull.
Hey.
What does Jamal need to know?
A big one.
What does Jamal need to know to take his next right action as a Denver Nugget? Let's see.
Oh, boy. This is.
Ooh, interesting. Okay. So he got a really complicated card right away. He got the reversed moon.
Oh, wow. The reversed moon.
This is the card that you see when you are at your most. It's like the epicenter of your turning point. It's really like, actually, that's so weird. It's the solstice. It's literally the
sun.
The moon, the sun. Okay.
That's really wild. I'm like moved by that.
I'm putting DraftKings on.
You can say this is new.
It's new, what'd you say?
New Jamal.
Yeah, you know when you're watching The Empire Strikes Back and he goes into the forest? You know what I mean? Like, and he's like sees himself in the forest and like, puts his own hat off and a fan. Yeah. It's like that's where he's at, sort of like he's reached the deepest, darkest part of whatever he was doing, and now he's like on his way back. But it's not like negative, it's more like he's been in this deep self-exploratory state, getting a handle on like who he is. Now he's
is perfect.
Am I crazy? This is the most rational thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Came
from the if we think about Jamal Murray in the bubble, I think Jamal Murray, in a way, figured out who he was in the bubble. Like, that has happened, and now he's coming out of that.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I'm putting my entire balance from DraftKings on Jamal to be the most improved player.
Yeah.
Based on this tarot card.
I will say, though, it's interesting with the moon because it's like, You still have to take your time. You're not just like rushing back. Remember what you just learned. Okay. Like throw it all to the side now. It's treacherous on the way back too. So like keep your pacing.
Okay. All right. So, I like it. That's an interesting one for Jamal.
We're off to a great start.
We
gotta go. Let's go spicy.
Can we get Gary Harris then? Should we move to Gary Harris?
The least spicy, but let's do it anyway.
Okay, let's see what's gonna go on for Gary. Okay. What does Gary need to know to take his next right action? That's Denver Nuggets. Oh, that's so sweet. Okay, so he got the 10 of Cups.
The 10 of Cups.
This is the 10 of Cups. All 10s represent ends of cycles. And cups represents your heart. It represents emotions. It represents
Mr. Nugget.
No, that's Monty.
Do you understand?
What?
You're talking about former. This is the transition between former Mr. Nugget to new Mr. Nugget.
Yeah, Gary was Mr. Nugget, but the award has passed. It's like a.
Handed off this offseason.
It was handed off to Monte.
I'm glad I'm wearing a hat. My mind is blown.
I think this makes sense because it's time for Gary to move on to kind of like a new emotional situation for himself.
This a is trade?
The, even though this is a really no, not a trade. This is sort of like this. Well, I don't want him to be traded. I mean, maybe I'm invested in that, but like, this is more just like you've come to the end of this emotional cycle. It's time to move on to whatever the next phase is, and that's a good thing. There's joy there. It's not like a sad ending. You've reached some kind of happy ending. So what's the next chapter, basically? That's what we're thinking for.
The era of original Mr. Nugget has come to an end, but that doesn't mean that the Nuggets or Gary are in a bad place. It's just a new role. He's just going to be a defensive specialist.
Or maybe he's off the bench this year. We don't know. Maybe he's, maybe he goes to the
but
bench.
But Ariana said there was joy. Maybe he's sixth man of the year. Oh, my God.
There we go.
Who should we do next? Should we go to Michael
MPG,
Porter?
Dude,
all
yes.
right, Michael
Let's
Porter.
Spice it up.
Michael Porter. Okay. We're all so nervous.
Oh, heavens.
Yeah, I know. I have like no idea what this will be. So what does MPJ need to know to take his next right action as an underdog? Oh my God. Unfortunately.
No!
All right.
The tower.
The tower.
Oh, no.
So, in my opinion.
Oh no.
Well, how can we want it to get spicy? I think he's got to let go. Like, I mean, when you see the tower, it's very chaotic, right? Like, this is a crazy card. What this really means to me is if we're being honest, he's a stud, right? Like, he deserves recognition. He's the ego of the team. And so since he's the ego of the team, there has to be some kind of like, this is often a humbling card, but it's so weird. It's because it's like when it all comes crashing down. It's really like when the ego all comes crashing down.
Oh, Malone breaks it finally?
Well, I don't know, because it's kind of strange to me because he's so young that in some ways he still is trying to prove himself. He is still trying to, I don't think he's egotistical enough, really. Like, I think it could be, we could get... But I guess for the drama of it, this card makes sense to me in terms of like everything that's not real about him needs to fall away so that he can come out and be who he really is.
So there's an internal chaos, an internal conflict, maybe this tower represents.
Put on a show, a front, if you will.
Yeah. I mean,
we need to get to the real MPJ. What is he really all about?
Exactly, Eric. Like, exactly.
All right.
We need the facade to fall away. Be the real star that you think you are. Like, that ego stuff. So really be the star then, if that's what's going on.
Well, I'm not gonna. That's a little ominous, but you know, we knew there'd be challenges for every growth. There's an enormous challenge.
That one really turned around at the end, though. I was, I think much like Draft Night, I let Ariana's initial reaction really steer me down the wrong path. But it turns out, in the end, we may get a better MPJ out of all this.
I don't know.
The tower. I think the tower is good. I feel like.
I love it so much.
The comment for those listening: MPJ ego too small is a 7-alarm hot take.
I just think. Well, I'm just saying. Like, I think it's fake. Like, show me your real healthy ego. Show me the real healthy ego.
That's how Facundo Campazzo. Can we find out about him? I'm so intrigued. I have nothing. I have no idea what to expect from him. He's so interesting.
Me too. Okay, let's see what's going on with Facundo.
I'm not as nervous about this one because
me neither.
What is
we got Facundo the tower out of the way?
Yeah, the tower's out of the way. What does Facundo need to know to make his next right? Take his next right action as a Nugget. Let's find out. Sorry, hold on. I want to fix my screen because it's been dark.
I like that you flash from dark.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Like really,
it's actually really cool. Nice.
It's like a haloed.
Sorry. Okay. Oh, interesting. This makes sense to me. He got the Ace of Pentacles. This makes a lot of sense.
Sure. To all of us, but what are you doing?
All right. So we saw cups already. Cups represents like your heart. It's an emotional card. This represents the real world. So this is like actual... taking practical steps, taking really like material, it represents material force, represents money, represents work, it represents trust. So the Ace of Pentacles, aces represent beginnings, they represent opportunities, so like portals into the next phase of your life. So
this is perfect.
I love it. It's like really saying to him, trust the nuggets, like trust in this time, trust in taking this next step, and that this is a new beginning for you, and that if you go organically and go step by step, it's going to create an amazing time for you. I love it for him.
It does look like a dime too, as it has been pointed out. It looks like Campazzo is handing a dime or a basketball to
that is
a
true. Really- yes, it does to the world. He's making an assist he's to the
throwing us
universe.
A dime. Holy shnikes!
Yeah. Throwing us
he's
a dime.
Passing to the world.
There's a lot going on. There's a lot to process here. I'm gonna have to think for a long time by myself after the show ends.
Just let it all flow.
Can we do a couple more? Can we do a couple more? Are you okay to do a couple more, Ariel?
Let's do a couple more.
We'll
save him for last. Okay. He's got to be for last.
Who's the next most intriguing nugget this season? I know it is. One name, twice.
Okay.
You're right. You got to do Bulbul. Yeah.
All right. I also don't know what I'm going to see from him. Okay, let's see. What do we need to know about – what does Bulbul need to know to take his next right action? That's number nugget. Let's see.
I'm nervous again. I have a lot emotionally staked in this. And I already bet him to be rookie of the year.
This makes sense to me too. Okay, so this is the Four of Pentacles. Here we see king, right? And he's got like a pentacle on his head and in his arms. He looks weird. And he also has the kingdom behind him, but he's not facing it. So this is the card you see when you're a king and you won't accept that you're a king yet.
This should have been Jokic's card. I feel like there was a mistake.
He's a young king.
Tarot cards don't make mistakes, Eric.
You're right. Yeah. I feel stupid. Why would I have said that?
No, to me, this makes sense for Bulbul because it's like, this is the card you see when you're still obsessed kind of with trying to control everything and not like go with the flow quite yet. And I feel like this is sort of like, and there's a selfishness involved, although I haven't like seen that necessarily with Bulbul, but there's still some like go with the flowness that he needs to step into, especially when it comes to trusting other people. I think he's probably still building trust with people on the team, and that's what this card asks you to do. It asks you to like let go of control issues and step into the flow of things more, especially materially. So
we need to get this message to Bulbul.
We'll just tag him every time in the
probably watching Bulbul, if you want to comment what your thoughts are on your card.
What about Michael Malone?
We'll do Joker, but we'll do Malone first. What does Michael Malone need to know as a coach to take his next right action on the Denver Nuggets? Reverse Page of Pentacles. All right, let me try to think about one. So we're seeing a lot of pentacles.
Is it upside down?
It's upside down. So I'm trying to think about like it's reversed. I'm trying to think like. So when this card is upright, it's about. It reminds me of how he's been. It's like working with pages represent children. They represent childlike energy, people coming to situations with no baggage, and they're willing to learn, and they're very trustworthy and everything like that. So when it's reversed, I feel like it could, I'm trying to think about what this could be. I mean, in some ways, I feel like he needs to let the birds leave the nest a little bit. Like, I feel like that's a little bit what this could be referring to.
He's embracing analytics. He's had a little old school. This year, he's like, we're shooting more threes. We're playing a little bit faster.
He's all about offense.
We're all about offense, baby.
Yeah. Like
are the birds tweets? Does he need to listen to the online community?
Maybe. You know what's really interesting, too, is this could actually be something really specific that we don't know about that maybe is going on with him personally in regards to like relationships that he's having with someone in particular.
Have you told the cards we don't care about his personal life? We care only about the Denver Nuggets specifically.
Analytics.
That sounds like analytics.
Clearly
people are clamoring for Will Barton. Can we add Will Barton and then Joker? Is that all right? All right.
Let's do Will the Thrill. Sorry, there's some sirens right there.
Alarms going off as we do.
Sorry, I've got a ambulance right now. Okay, what does Barton need to know to take his next right action? Okay, so this is interesting for him too. This is the Two of Swords. So we have this figure that's sitting, they've got their arms folded across their chest, they're blindfolded. This is the card you see when you are kind of not, it's a little similar to the card that Bulbul got, where wanting to be in control, clinging really tightly, like that was what Bulbul got. This is more mental. This is more about mentally opening up again. I think he may have closed off mentally for a little while and has not wanted to connect mentally with other people for whatever reason. He's been more like closed off, reflective, meditative in his own world. And so I think for him now, it's important for him to realize that that's okay. If he needs to think for a little while and get his heart in order or his mind and peaceful or whatever it is, that's fine. But he can't really see how these swords are really big and heavy. He can't like hold this position for that long. He can't keep himself closed off for much longer. It's not going
to
work out.
The position Eric, you mean on the starting right. lineup?
Oh, you think he needs to see, he might have
he
to
needs
see
to
that.
Let go of Open the up. Idea that he is a starter in this league, accept a sixth man role, write it all the way to sixth man of the year, a championship. Arietta, I got
I will say this card is by far the coolest looking of all the ones we've seen so far.
I honestly love her. I think she's great. She's
still terrifying, honestly.
She's scary, and also she represents, and it makes sense for Will too. You see it when you've been a little, when you don't feel seen. A lot of times people will get this card when they really don't feel seen. And they're just like, all right, fine. Yeah. I'm just going to be do me. I'll just do me and close off and not focus on what other people are saying.
I got to say, the accuracy with each one of these cards, first off, makes me terrified for Michael Porter Jr., but second off.
The tower was very ominous. Oh, no. All right. Well, I guess we have one last one, and I'm equally as nervous now. All of a sudden, I'm trembling here. There's a lot riding on this, Arianna.
No pressure.
I know it's not you. It's just, yeah.
I'm glad. No, I'm the professional here, so yeah. Don't worry. I'm in my zone. Okay. So what does Jokic need to know to take his next right action as Denver Nugget? Ooh, how interesting. So interesting.
Oh, it's upside reversed, down, though.
So, okay, reversed Emperor. Wow. So what's really interesting to me is this is the card that you see when this is upright, it's about stepping into your authority. It's like really owning almost like a father archetype and really like guiding growth, really allowing things to flow, literally guiding chaos. That's what the Emperor does. He makes sure all the trains run on time. He's the ultimate, like, taking chaos.
That is Yoke.
Yeah. That's so now, when it's reversed, he actually has to let go of just a little bit of that. He has to start. Trusting that it's going to come naturally to him, and that he is the quote emperor on this team and everything. But there has to be a little, like, let it flow. You don't have to like 100% control everything. Just connect to your team, which you're already doing. And it's all going to like unfold the way that
offense, it needs
really
to go
cool.
A little more to Jamal, a little more to Michael Porter, yes. A little more to Will Barton. Yeah. But he's still the emperor. He's still the
Holy
emperor.
Holy smokes, Joker is the emperor.
Jokic is going to average a career high in assists this season. I can already feel it.
Maybe the points are down
maybe
a little
ten
bit.
Assists?
Maybe
10
assists. It's really crazy to me that the joke, like archetypally, the Joker is supposed to talk to the king, right? Isn't that like the story with the Joker?
Yeah.
It's like the Joker
entertains the king. Yeah.
So this actually is the Joker card. Because if it's reversed Emperor, it means just be the Joker. Remember, you're not the Emperor.
I am the Joker. This is the year I'm telling
Let's
you guys.
Go. Let's
I've been
go.
Saying it all year. He Holy has the smokes. Eye of the Joker in his eyes.
Wow.
Arianna, this was the great. You saw the comments. A lot of people saying this is their favorite show of the year.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
Yeah, well, so the people really
not
really
of the year
enjoyed.
Of all time.
Of all time, yes. Some people all time. They would even further.
I truly feel part of the Nuggets culture, and like I feel so happy and embraced by everybody, and like I've had the best time. It's truly changed my life. So thank you, Nuggets community, for embracing me.
I know. Because I believe this. You either get it or you don't. And I think one of the things that it's so funny when you see people that don't get it, they haven't put the time in or this or that. And they talk to these people inside of our like obsessive Nuggets bubble, and they're all like, I don't get what you guys think is so fun or special about it. It's like, yeah, because you don't get it. Like, but if you're in it, you're just This is the most amazing thing ever. Like, it's just so much fun being a fan of this team and with this community. So I'm glad that you've gotten to step inside it and add to it. And now, and especially with stuff like this, you know, like you were.
I mean, it's heaven for me. So thank you.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for tuning in with hanging with us for this this episode. Don't forget, hit the like button if you're watching this. Kale, you're rushing me, bro. You're rushing me. Hit the like button. Hit the subscribe button. Don't forget, you guys, this is also a podcast. So the DNVR Nuggets podcast, if you ever miss, you know, you can always catch it as a pod. There's that as well. But we're going to be back again tomorrow. Wednesday is game time, baby. We're going to have a post-game show. We'll see everybody then.
Joker's the emperor.
The tower.
The Joker though. Is the emperor.
Now the season can officially start. If you guys have ever thought about going back to school and finishing up your degree, or maybe going back to college, you've already got your degree, you want to get another one, MSU Denver Online is an awesome option. Right now, open enrollment is going on for the spring semester, so you can check out their entire course list at msudenver.edu/online. Every course is taught by teachers who have perfected the art of online education. These guys have been teaching classes online forever, so they know how to get that information across to you online in a super engaging fashion. No matter what type of student you are, MSU Denver Online is an awesome option. I took a class there last summer, had a great experience. I had awesome teachers, I learned a ton, and I actually learned a lot of stuff that I used and translates over to my job covering the Nuggets. So check out their entire course list, msudenver.edu/online.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.